Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Desi, noun, a person of Indian, Pakistani, Bangladeshi, Nepali, or Sri Lankan origin who lives abroad.
American Desi. Well, that's what we hope to discover here.
What up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of American Desi's I'm Arjun.
I'm Akash.
If you hadn't joined us last week to listen to D-Lo, get the fuck off this episode, go back, click the 1-2 before this, and listen to that shit. If you're too damn lazy to do that, I'm going to yell at you.
You're stupid.
While I'm going to let Akash yell at you. I'm going to let D-Lo say some shit about you later. But I'm going to tell you what happened. D-Lo came in to bless our program. D-Lo is our first trans person to be on our podcast. Thrilled that she could educate us. He could educate, not well apparently, educate us and yell at us at the same time.
You know, what's great though is you just correct us and there's no like, you're not frustrated. It's just he and it's okay. Yeah, you're right. He.
But basically, we're doing a lot of exploration into what it means to be trans, the difference between transgender, difference between sexual orientations.
Basically, he just told us how ignorant we were for an hour, but there was no anger behind
but
it.
In the most,
but
in a compassionate way,
we accepted how ignorant we were.
And I'm less ignorant now.
And we defended the ignorant.
Yeah. Well, no.
Yes.
We did not defend ignorance. We addressed that compassion is needed to help bring ignorance into the light.
Yeah, man, that's what I said.
No, okay, moving on. D-Lo.
Yes.
Right before we ended, Akash brought up what you call the top surgery.
Yes.
What point did that become important? What is that something that's...
Yeah. I'll talk about all that.
Great.
So basically, it's like...
Yeah. No, shut the fuck up. Let me start talking, dude.
No, like a lot of... Like, okay, for instance, like, it's not cool to go up to trans people and ask them what's been done.
I would assume it's not cool at
all.
It's
not cool at all.
Right.
But I didn't ask you.
I
didn't ask you.
No,
I definitely noticed.
No, for me.
I didn't notice.
Wait, no, I'm not getting no double D's no more.
Yeah. But they were big. All right.
But Christ.
But the thing is, like, you know, for me, you know, part of my journey had everything to do with, like, you know, like, when you're little... Okay, like, you know, in Sri Lanka, I don't know about your Indian cultures, but when a little girl gets their period, they give you, like, a ceremony.
Hmm.
And so I remember, like, that was, like, the most devastating thing for me. Like, I just hated it. My mother put me in a sari for the first time.
Mm.
I hated it. Like, if I showed you pictures, like, I'm just, like, looking like the world is crashing on me, right? And I think back on, like... Well, I feel like a lot of trans people, like, who might have some similarities with my story, think about that day that marked their puberty and wished for their bodies to not have changed. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And so, like, you know, part of it for me is, like, you know, I love that I had top surgery. I think it was the best, selfish, most self-loving decision I had ever made in my life. But it was laden with, like, oh, what is my family? And, like, this journey that, you know, like, eventually there's going to be hormones on the horizon and, you know, a bunch of different other sort of things. And I'm like, you know.
When hormones on the horizon, you mean start taking.
Testosterone. Yeah. And so then, I know that this is something that has kind of been, like, you know, I knew that people in my family had always seen me as more masculine, but for me, I'm like, okay, well, what, like, it's a marker. It's not like one day, like, I don't say anything and then one day I come to their house with a fucking beard. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like you have to bring the people you love in. It's that same thing. It's like being compassionate, always like taking care of the people who may not process as hard as you. Like, you know, as immigrants, I don't know if y'all came from immigrant families, but like...
Yeah, both first generation.
Yeah, and so like, it's like, I don't know, like my parents have never stopped to think about their feelings. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They just like, okay, what do we got to do to buck to up survive. And move on?
Yeah.
Exactly. It's just like pick up and move on. So I know I have the privilege of processing. So I have to take care of my parents and their emotions. Not all the time. Like when it's not going to kill me. You know what I'm saying? Right. But like that was a lot of our journey too, is me pulling back, me stepping in. Like always having a
dialogue.
But sometimes just... not being available for it either, because the amount of shit that came out of their mouth was just like killing me.
Right.
But, you know, all this to say that my journey as far as like surgery and doing trans affirmative procedures on my body has been about like, you know, just find, you know, like all of us have that question, like, how do we want to lead our life? You know?
Yeah.
And for trans people, how their bodies are is equally a part of like figuring that out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that it had been on my mind for a long time. And I had a trans brother in New York, you know, going, well, why aren't you on your transition already? And then I was like, you know, for me also in the theater, prior to doing the show that I'm doing now, I used to do characters. I do like 7 or 8 different characters. And it was always easier for me to drop to a lower tone and just talk like this. And like, you know, after vocal warm-ups, I'd had full range of a more deep voice, right? Mm-hmm. And I knew that the minute I would get on T, it would be like a month later, I wouldn't be able to access the higher registers.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking, well, financially, this is not a good move because I use these performances as a way to pay for my way. And, you know, making like different excuses like that, because in actuality, like where my show is at right now, I have a range of doing what it is that I need to do, but, you know, it's not costumed and it isn't, you know, and if my voice lowers, it's not, I don't think that it's going to take away from the story that I'm telling. You feel me?
Yeah.
So you felt like it was your way of avoiding something that you...
I think so. I think that initially I really believed it to be something that I needed to it had some importance. Is your mic out? Is the blue?
No, we're good.
But then, like, you know, just realizing, like, you know, like, none of that really matters. Like, you know, I just want to walk free spiritually. And however it is that I plan on doing that, like, in, you know, checking in with my own spirituality and my own spirit and how I want to walk in this world physically. And now that we have options, you know, I'm so happy that, like, young trans kids have options. Like, otherwise, like, the homicide and suicide rate in trans people of color communities is the highest than any other sort of ID'd group, you know? And, you know, and especially for trans women, you know, they're getting killed left and right, you know, on the daily. So it's like, I'm overjoyed that there are options not to kill ourselves. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, like, let's just, you know, people want to do surgeries for vanity sake. You know, like, you want to get your butt big or your lips or Botox, liposuction. I never judge that. I know that that's vanity. That's a different route than, like, being trans and, like, having surgeries. But I'm not going to judge anybody. Like, we all have to do what gets us happy. Like, let's just get a chance at, like, you know, being happy. You know?
Right.
Right.
So anyway, that happened in 2009, and but I only came out about it in 2011 to my family.
Mm.
Some people knew, but not my parents. So, you know, that's the whole thing. There's people like me probably would go through like a host of different things to make their body align with what they want or right. how they see their gender. For me, this is where I'm at right now.
Beautiful. Well, I'm going to change tact from your trans identity to your Sri Lankan / South Asian identity.
Yeah.
First question, this is a show called American Daisies.
Absolutely.
Originally was called Indian, American. Part of why we changed it to American Daisies was because we wanted it to be more inclusive of the South Asian identity. We were actually talking to someone, I think it was Reka, who told us that a lot of Sri Lankans don't want to identify with the term South Asian or Desi. How do you, as a Sri Lankan, feel about the South Asian
I don't. I mean, I call myself South Asian in the context of being around other South Asian people. Like, okay, there's South Asian. But it's not that I hate it. You know, it's not like but I just don't. I've never, like, we didn't grow up like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, India was like a whole nother type of place to us, you know? Like, sometimes I try and explain it to somebody who, like, was Indian in Africa, or, like, who was, I don't know, like, folks from the Maldive Islands, or, I don't know, Nepali people, or sometimes even Bangladeshi people, but, like, but, you know, just, or even, like, you know what's the best? It's like saying to somebody who's from Guyana, who looks completely South Asian, that they're South Asian. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're...
But yeah, I guess then, are there not more cultural similarities? Because my Guyanese friends...
Yeah.
Well, my Guyanese friends that are more on the black side of Guyanese, like more African side of Guyanese. Yeah. But with Sri Lankans, my understanding is that there's more cultural similarities.
There's like cultural similarities in like we don't have the same food, but we have the same spices. Our Sri Lanka is 85% Buddhist.
Right.
The Tamil people, of which I'm from that community, are like maybe 11% Hindu, and then we have a 7% or 8%, something like that. I know my numbers are all off, but like a Muslim population. We have a like, as far as diasporic communities are concerned, I've met more Christians and Muslims and Hindus than I have only Buddhist people from Sri Lanka. You know what I'm saying?
But in regards to the whole diasporic community, I mean, one of the things that we talk about, we understand that, like, in India, there's going to be, and there might be more of a division between India, or in South Asia itself, there might be more of a division between India and Sri Lanka and Pakistan and Bangladesh, all that. But here, one thing that Akash and I have talked about is that, or Akash likes to say, man, you brown. Mm-hmm. There's not enough of us for me to say you're this kind of brown.
I get you on that.
When you were growing up, though, did you feel that way, or do you feel that way now?
You know what it is that, like, I didn't grow up with Indians. I think that's the big distinction. I know that there are some Sri Lankan people that I know who are Tamil, who, like, even my cousins, some of my cousins here, they did grow up with other Indian people, so they're like, oh yeah, we're Desi. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if you talk to my school of folks who are just like maybe 6-7 years older to these folks, we never did that. You know what I'm saying? So that's the only reason why. And then I also feel like, you know, as far as like the South Asian population, as far as like what different arts communities, theater communities. Like,
in America you're talking about?
Yeah. Growing up, it was heavily North Indian. And so... Even South Indians didn't feel like they could call themselves Desi. You get what I'm saying? So
you're saying back then?
I feel like, you know.
What about now?
I feel like right now, to be honest,
yeah,
is that, like, you know, when they used to have these organizations like Artwala, Diasporatics, Desh Pradesh, and they have like Savak and another Sapak in Chicago or whatever, it was always heavily run by North Indian, because it was mobilized by people who knew each other. The communities were bigger, you know?
Right.
So I feel like the Southies, so like I'm speaking specifically about Malayali, South Indians, and maybe some Andhra and Karnataka people, but I feel like those folks just never even... Like, it's like a different world. And I know that there are similarities, so I'm totally behind what y'all are... you know, about.
Well, but we're just advocating for, like, going forward. Like,
yeah, going forward, I mean, I always would feel like, you know, I always ended up knowing a lot more about North India than North Indians had to know about Sri Lanka or South India. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's just, you know, that's just that hierarchy thing.
Right.
But yes, at that time growing up, it was enough to, like, keep me away. But that's also my queer life. You get what I'm saying? I didn't think that it was... good for me to be keep trying to get into some group that just couldn't even see me as a Sri South Asian or B queer, you know, but like, I mean, I'm not trying to say, oh, my best friends are Indian. I'm not saying that at all. But, like, you know, it has changed. You know what I'm saying? It has changed to a certain degree. I'm not completely. But I think that, you know, we have to kind of be real about the fact that there is that hierarchy out there based off of maybe just even numbers and the fact that, like, you know, like, I
but I think it's our responsibility, and this is the way I've always think. There are more Indian, quote unquote, from immigrants, first generation Indians, than there are in first generation Sri Lankans. Partly because India is 1.3 billion,
right,
and Sri Lanka's not.
Right.
But I think I also think it's our responsibility to then include those. Like, absolutely, I think it's absolutely our responsibility, and which is why, you know, people hate on us for not having, quote unquote, enough South Indians on the show. But yeah, I'll be honest, we do a very we do really try to get a diversity of experiences.
All the Southies, I know.
Please do.
Every single one. But you know, every single one. This is the other thing. I feel like only in those sort of communities have I been asked where Sri Lanka is. Do you get what I'm saying? Only by Indians have asked me where Sri Lanka is.
Well, it's similar to an arrogance that America has where they don't know, like, where other parts of the world is. I totally understand what you're saying. But I do want to ask, your partner is named Anjali.
Yeah.
Is she Indian?
She's Sindhi. Her mother was raised, I think, at a younger age in Rajasthan, and then later in closer to Mumbai, and then her father was raised in Baroda. She's in Gujarat, right?
I think so,
and
yeah.
Then,
I think that's where Modi's from.
Yeah, maybe.
Modi's Gujarati, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, at least he was the chief minister. But I want to ask, was that important to you? Like, when it comes to relationships and stuff?
A whole bunch of different women in the past. I think that when I got to New York was when I started dating South Asian women. And
oh, really? That was a New York thing?
Yeah. I don't think that... I mostly dated, like... I didn't even know South Asians. That's what I'm trying to tell y'all, is that, like, I didn't know South Asians. It wasn't the circles that I was rolling in. But when I went to New York, I started dating South Asian women. But I'll tell you, you know, I feel like the one, like, I dated a bunch of South Indians. And then Anjali, you know, she's North. Basically, it wasn't important to me, but, like, I don't know, like, I would be a fool not to pick up the shorty because she's so dope and she's fine and she's but I'll tell you, like, you know, I think the woman that I dated right before her was from Laos, and the one before that was Black American, and one before that was Persian. So I feel like, you know, it just... Does the fact that she's Hindu and understands cultural sort of things, did it make a difference? Hell yeah. Was it important?
It doesn't sound like it was a huge criteria for you, but the fact that it's present is appreciating.
No, I mean, it even made our dating easier. So I think that that's what ultimately helped things to, like, stick. It's like I didn't have to work as hard. But you know, we still are very different. You know,
of course.
Like her, you know, her whole background, like, she grew up watching Bollywood. I think I saw like two Bollywood films before I seen her. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
And then, like,
now you love it.
I love it, boy.
I can't.
Oh my best. God, I
are you
love
being
that
serious?
Shit.
It's
I'm
fun.
I'm so serious.
It's the best.
It's not the best.
But then you know what? I understand. No, wait, look, watch. I understood, because she grew up on that shit, so I understood her understanding of what romance was.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, okay, got you.
How was it for her family with you?
Her family, it was difficult at first, but that was not based off of them not being able to treat me with utmost kindness, love, and respect. She comes from a different kind of family. Like, they actually talked to each other growing up. Like, they would have, like, these
really
things. Yeah,
as Indians.
Amazing. As Indians,
man.
Exactly.
My family, that's, yeah, and that's how our family was.
That's cool. It's like an anomaly. But I feel like, you know, her parents were probably, like, quick on the turnaround. Like, if we're talking about my own parents and we're talking about decades, her parents, with the amount of dialogue that, like, Anjali loves her parents, and, you know, like holds them so dear to her heart, and they keep in touch and share with each other on a deeper level. Like they just were like, okay, like cool. Her father was a lot more accepting. He's like a more like philosophical artist type.
Huh.
Mother was a little bit.
It is funny, but the South Asian women sometimes can be even harsher to on this stuff.
I mean, but you know, she just had to go through her thing. She's on board. She's like a diehard. Like I remember, we went to this South Asian wedding in St. Louis. That's where her family's from. And it was Anjali's best friend, and they were like, oh, we want the whole like folks to get on the, especially my friends. I want y'all to get on the dance floor. Now we knew people were already like. Anjali's first time back in the community, the whole nine, and people giving me shade, saying shit to her mother, saying like showing Anjali a little bit of shade. And we got out on the dance floor and we were dancing and I was like, it's okay. And right when Anjali's in my arms and she's telling me like, I'm nervous. We turn around and her parents came out on the dance floor and danced right by us. And I'm like, that's some cool gangsta shit. Like,
that's so dope.
I don't
dope.
Even know if my parents would even have the balls and ovaries to do that kind of stuff. Right. You get what I'm saying? In front of this whole, you know, like this
in front of the whole
like
community.
Off, you know,
right. Yeah.
So yeah, they're gangsta all day. Like they're diehard for their crew. You know.
Let's talk about this. You know, we talked to Parvesh, and he was very laid back about the community and where it was at with these issues. I think he was coming from the standpoint of people that are young don't give a fuck anymore.
Yeah.
And it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
How do you feel about where... I want to first ask specifically about the South Asian community, but of course I want to hear how you feel about how the world is feeling with these issues.
The South Asian community, I don't know. Like, for instance, like we know a couple of people on her side and on my side that are gay, and their parents aren't like... loud about it, but they love their kids. There's still a lot of shame. You know what I'm saying? It's not like I don't want you to just accept me. I want you to like actually celebrate my life.
Right.
Like you celebrate everybody else. I'm not saying like throw me a party every time I walk through the door.
Do
but
it.
Like just or that. But like, you know, that. And then I feel like, you know, maybe in time things are gonna get better. But I would tell you that like when I look at the younger parents too, some of our friends who are like heterosexual couple, they when we come over, like we're like the queer uncle and auntie, but they don't want to have those conversations with their kids yet. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm kind of like, well, you're just going to make this awkward for everybody because kids will be the first people to be like, what are
Why are you doing that? Yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Where are your breasts? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So anyway, all that, like, I think that it's a cult, it's entrenched in our way of thinking to just kind of not say anything and just skirt around things. And when you grow up with that, like, you don't realize that to be direct or to be like, you know, to just kind of name the elephant in the room is so liberating.
Right.
You know?
But do you think the younger generation is more accepting? That's what Parvesh said, and that's kind of what I say about racism.
I agree with that. I agree with that wholeheartedly because even in my own peer group that I feel like everybody was cool by me. Sometimes I feel like it depends on the person because I know that there's somebody else in our community who is very much like me and they don't get the same amount of respect that I do. But, you know, there's a lot of different factors involved in that situation. Not the person's fault at all, more of our community's fault. The younger generations too, like before I used to do the college university campus stuff and I would look, it would be like an Asian or a queer thing and it would be everybody but South Asians in there who wanted to come and see a queer South Asian do something. And now, over the past like couple years, I've seen more and more South Asians who are not queer just coming out to see a good show.
Word.
So, you know, I think that college does help. I like, you know, because then you're like looked down upon if you're sounding ignorant. But...
Education, exposure.
Exposure, but
bringing light to
people who don't go to college. I feel like they're already exposed to a lot, and you know, super immigrant folks, I feel, I have been exposed to a lot. Whether or not that actually changes how they think is one thing, but it definitely changes the way they behave to me.
Well, it's always been fascinating. I don't know how much you can speak to this, because I don't know. But Hijras in India, can you speak a little? Those, now I'm going to sound, I should have researched
those
this
folks.
Before. No, but they, but that community that in community, India yeah. has a strange place in India. Specifically, it's an amazing place in society.
Place because yeah. it's somebody who is living literally between the two constructed gender roles.
Yeah.
Right? But you know, South India, I think, was the first, especially in Tamil Nadu, was the first place to actually like the equivalent of legalization. But not only that, is that they would allow for passports to have, so they're getting protected. Government aid and a passport option on their passports, on their legal documents, and then I think India as a whole, I have different theories about all of that, and I'm not going to even get into it. But
okay.
It's easier to be a trans woman in India than it is to be a trans woman here in the States. And
wow,
and. Over there,
which is strange in a space where like homophobia and like homosexuality is now illegal. Like, it's strange yeah. that it's
so funny, isn't
it's
it? Because
fucking weird to
because
me.
Because if you are picking a gender and you're aligned with that, then you don't test me on where my head needs to go around this. But if you're two men who love each other, that's just too much. Do you get what I'm saying?
I mean, I understand the way that you're setting that up, but it still doesn't make sense to me. Well,
I think it was even in Iran, they have, they will pay for somebody
yes, I've heard
to
this.
Have a
sex change operation.
Gender reassignment.
Wow.
Surgery, more, but yet homosexuality is still, but there's all these sorts of things. And I will tell you that I have my own, it's not even a conspiracy theory, but it is a theory around like why that is so much more accepted. But what I do want to talk about is that like
please.
The Aravani community and the Hijra community in South Asia have been known to give blessings, and they have like a spiritual role in the community.
That's what I was thinking.
And I feel like, you know, that's our rightful place as queer people. We have been so pushed away from the religious table and not been given a spot at just understanding, like the, like sharing what we see with our many lenses, you know? And I think that that's one of the biggest problems in this world, in this society, is not allowing queer people to just be like, look, this is how we need to be looking at the world, taking care of each other, blah, 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 blah. You know, that might be a little bit more down a metaphysical path than needed, but.
No, we welcome that. Akash is sleeping now, but we welcome that.
I'm here right here, bruh.
But I will say, like, this is what my theory is based off of. No, actually, I don't want to talk about that.
You don't have to. I do have a question if you want about your religious feelings.
Yeah.
Like, where are you with religious?
Yeah, I am.
Religion.
I am Hindu. I went to a Baptist school and a Catholic high school. At that time, people, like our parents, didn't trust the public education system in Lancaster, and of course wanted their kids to grow up and be doctors and stuff like that. I grew up with a bunch of different religions, but then my mother, a lot of South Asian parents, I don't know if this is you, but my mother has different gods on her altar, like from different religions.
I mean, my family's Arya Samaji, so we don't, there's no idol worship for us.
So I want to know more about that before I Google. what I am saying is that I grew up with hella religion, period, in my family. And I think that, you know, there came a point to me in my life where I was like, well, where do I stand in this? Like, my mother is a very spiritual person, so it wasn't ever rigid Hinduism. Like, she has dreams. She sees things.
Cool.
Miraculous things happen in her altar space, you know? So I kind of have some of that. But more of it had, I needed to align myself with a Hinduism that accepted my queerness and exalted it.
Right.
And I did. And,
cool. Was that difficult to find? Was that?
It wasn't actually. It was. Right. It wasn't hard to find. I'm sure that if I wasn't connected to it through my community, I would have been able to Google it and find it, you know? But you know, I'm about to have my ceremony this year with Anjali. And we,
amazing.
Yeah, thank you. And I wish we could invite everybody because I would have invited y'all. But
I mean, you wouldn't have, but it's cool.
No, I would have. You don't understand. My father is one of 12 brothers and sisters, and we thought, oh, it's a queer wedding. Nobody going to come.
Right.
Everybody showing up.
Look at that. And my mother's one of 7.
That's dope.
So that's so beautiful.
Knocked out a whole bunch of people that I grew up with, and we're like, look, we're just going to have a dinner.
Let's do dinner, dog.
But,
come show up.
Oh, yeah. Come to the dinner. That's
hell
done.
Yeah.
That's but, done. You guys are paying.
More fun.
But what happened?
You asked it, huh? You guys are paying?
Yeah, of course.
Right, okay,
I got you.
Yeah, I'm
going to
be there.
I got you.
What are you talking about?
You might have to buy your own drink or bring your own flask.
I don't drink.
He doesn't drink, so he's good.
I'm eating all your food, though.
There you go.
You're talking about the ceremony, yeah.
We have a priest from my tradition who is doing the ceremony. It's a proper Hindu, like, I don't know.
7 circles and all that, yeah. It's dope.
You, my last question for you, because you've been so gracious with your time. You've referred to my community. You've used that phrase a number of times in our conversation.
Yeah.
Define what is your community.
Sri Lankaster. Yeah, it's like the community that I grew up with is Tamil, Sri Lankan people that I grew up with. And, you know, there were some folks out in L.A. and in the O.C. and we all just stayed in touch. I'm telling you, like, these motherfuckers would, like, kill for me.
Right.
Again, maybe they don't get it all, but, like, they just die hard, like, motherfuckers, you know?
So do you feel a part of / a desire to be a part of a South Asian community? From a standpoint of like...
I want to be around dope-ass people, and I also love it when I meet dope South Asian people.
That's why you're here.
Exactly. No, real. This is real. And just people who are about some other shit that's not like, you know, just caught up in the BS. Like, there's just something else going on, like thinking deep, just even like 2 steps deeper is what I'm asking, you know, like just looking for people who are dope. I've met like the dopest South Asians. Are we a part of a community? No. Do I want to create work with other South Asian dope artists? Hell yeah, all day.
But don't you think we should, I mean, this is something I experienced because I don't really feel like we do have a very strong South Asian artist community.
I feel like I know a lot of South Asians who are dope, who I would like be like, you get that card, you know?
But I don't think we have...
Or do they all know each other and are they a part of... No.
That's what
but
I'm saying.
I'm okay with that.
See, I would like us to like, not even from the standpoint to be exclusive.
Yeah.
But from a standpoint of like, let's build together.
There was something here in LA called Art Wallet. It was started up by Sarita Vasa. That ended off, I think, in 06, but it was already kind of like dwindling. We sold it to somebody else who wanted to use our stuff as leverage for... some larger Indian agenda.
I think I went to one of those meetings.
I want to be clear. When I talk about that, I don't feel... That's just my ignorance of the history. Because I know the South Asian community has been here for a long time.
You know, like, that would be so dope because it was actually a place where people could showcase work.
Yeah.
And, like, just be creative. And, like, really, I'm talking about, like, these people weren't suckers. Like, we had, like, amazing hip-hop artists, amazing theater plays, amazing singers. Like, just people with mad talent being able to showcase. So now, me and, you know Taz?
No.
Taz Mishti Music. This is somebody who you should get on here.
Word.
She has started a blog called Mishti Music, which is just highlighting South Asian musicians. And,
awesome.
And she writes about them, too, and she's that. But she also has a podcast with Zara Noorbash.
We don't like them.
From comic. Yeah. From SF? Anyway.
No. I don't know.
It's
man.
Called Good Muslim, Bad Muslim, I think. but she's hella dope. But so between her and some of the other South, there's a group called South Asians or social justice or something like that.
Yeah, Sajua or something.
Sajua, yeah. So like some of the folks there are like trying to like create, like they've been asking me for help in creating events for like either Black Lives Matter or like some other something. But like, you know, now that I'm back in LA and now that I feel like I have some like, you know, more energy, I feel like this is something that I also want to do, is just make sure that there's a platform for us to just kind of be with each other. Not exclusive, but like just showcase like what we're doing and to build and to like, you know, I've met like four, one is a Sri Lankan artist named Nimmi Harasgawa, an artist, the theater artist from DC who just moved here named Anu Yadav, and a Pakistani queer comedic actress, Faiza, I think is her name. Yeah.
I feel like I and might
then,
know.
Mirza is her last name, I think. And then, and I'm just like, these women are incredibly funny and incredibly good at what they do. All of them have like credits up the ass, but like, they're just like, come on, let's do something. And so I'm excited about that.
You know? Well, it sounds like we're going to start planning an event, y'all.
Yeah.
Sounds like it's time let's to bring it. Artwala back in some form.
In some form.
In let's some form. Beautiful. So tell our listeners how they can get at you.
When is this airing?
That's a good question. Probably in the next month.
Oh, well, by then the show's going to be over. But
that's terrible news.
I just got extended one more weekend for my show that's...
this is Disoriented?
This is called Defunct. This is my solo show.
Oh, cool.
And then...
congrats.
Thank you. And then...
shout out your Twitter and your website and all that so they can reach you whenever.
Everything is under DLocal Kid. My YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, everything is under DLocal Kid. That's spelled DLOCOKID.
Beautiful.
And I love y'all.
Well, guys, you know what we're going to do. You know the drill. Discussion/convo episode dropping in a couple days. So we want to hear from you. Hit us up on our forum, on our website, AmericanDaisiesPodcast.com. You know, hit us up on our Twitter, on Facebook.
Twitter at American Daisies. By the way, rate the podcast, review the podcast, subscribe to it, tell your friends about it. Let's blow up these numbers. I'm trying to get paid.
As always,
I'll make a push for it too.
Yeah. Word. Download that shit.
I'll give you a dollar.
I don't need no money from you.
Thank God.
Your love is just enough.
As always, I'm Arjun.
I'm Akash.
And we'll catch you in a couple days.
God bless.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.